Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Anthony Ingram, and welcome to Quintessential Listening Poetry. Tonight's very special guest is Duane Voorhees. Duane is a prolific poet and author. His book, Love's Autobiography, is available on Kindle, iTunes, and...
Hello?
Hello?
Dwayne, can you
yeah.
hear me? Okay.
I can now. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened.
Are we still
technical
on?
Technical problems. We're still on,
yeah.
Yes. We're still on the air.
All right. Well, we've
all
said
right.
something. So I missed the entire intro. I hope you had some jokes
oh, yeah.
or something to tell.
I tried to read a poem or two, but then I was disconnected from the air, too. So just technical glitches all the way around. But
well,
we're here tonight, and the show will go on. Let me ask you this question. What was an early experience where you learned that poetic language had power?
Well, actually, it took me a while. Like most high school students, I didn't much care for it. I had no idea why they couldn't just say what they wanted to say and sort of making us try to figure it out. But I suppose I became enlightened when I was in college, and it started to make some more sense.
Well, what I'd like you to do is to recite some of your work.
Okay. Well, although this is something I wrote quite a while back, the events of the last few days seems to me that this might be apropos. This is called rootedness. Some of us are rocket, some are rock. So how is stone decided? By heat, by pressure, dissolution, change. How then reassembled, ignited, launched? By direction, determination, or what? Some of us are burden, some are bird. Who imposes liberty? Need we clothe our us in armor? Need we clothe our us in chains? Or disinvest safety altogether? Do we judge duty by utility, weight? How divide pacifists from their fists? Some would suggest a scalpel. Our natures won't alter even with chainsaw. But when clenched missiles powder the earth and massy skies bring eagles down, I see us, spots in the carnage. Oh, carnations! The end.
Please continue.
Okay, I thought we'd been cut off again.
No. I was just contemplating your words.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
Along the same lines, swastikas? Where? Which ones? I hide here in my private cellar, Ich bin der Hellenkeller. Banners flapping in the wind, my ears at half-mast, but banned from hearing the world sighs. They make handy pegs in this square-boxed earth to perch my lead spectacles upon, to keep all the winds from off the eyes, to keep all the bright lights out, to keep my fingers free. Two fingers clutching my testicles, two pinching my penis closed, my right thumb plugging my anus, left hand chained linked across mouth and nose, to keep the breath of wind inside, to keep from reaching out, hands or breath or sound or mind, into this spectacle of ours. So this next one, Soul's Advice. I guess it's called a tercet. It's a three-line verse, two stanzas. Stop hiding, urge soul. Get close. In love and hope, I strode unclothed to your home. You rushed doors closed. Disarmored, unmasked, raw, revealed, and all hope of love shrinks reviled. Bewail, soul whispers, reveal. This is an open letter to the critics of the dawn. Long before your stage mother awaited her darling in the wings, that trooper's name was up in lights. Can you add one iota to dawn's theatric timing? That great aught in the sky enters stage right after night's tired delivery has put the curtained audience to sleep. That hoofer who has played the boards of history's every stage still performs proud matinees daily. If this longest running act in showbiz folds, what will you tell his sellout crowds? Of what use then your much lauded stars? To treat us hungry groundlings? What bright youngster will you trot out? If the dawn ever retires, won't you critics then be delighted? So this one plays around with language a little bit. Clipped. One moment, please.
Yes.
I have an audience who is barking at my work, which is not unusual, by the way.
Okay.
Clipped, but then clipped again. The rose that winds. Life is like four aces in a gambler's hand. The last oasis in a scrambled land. Any dawn transforms a man, amen, from prime to corpse to youth again. And all the women were virgins once, despite the destiny of their cunts. We keep safe crackers in the keep to keep us crackwins safe. And so Judas hanged and gutted Jesus. The goose is in the sage, the sage is in the goose. But the hand that rocks the cradle cradles the rock. Judas hanged and gutted Jesus. The sly quicksilver alters into quicksand. And then there are no aces and a scrambled hand, a lost oasis in a gambler's land, and the winds that rose, cleaved and cleaved yet again. This one is in my defense. And dark it was. Yes, and I, alone, but full, unwilling to succumb. And weaponed she, silk and smile and cologne, yet I still could hold my own. Till lastly, Your Honor, did she come at me with all the moon. Here's another short one called Ergonomics.
Right.
Sitting beside the curb, a nursing croissants and coffee. I can't help but marvel at couples passing by. Nearly every boy is just high enough that her head lies smugly in the fit between his face and shoulder. And this inexorably leads me to reminisce about baseballs. How they used to lodge so comfortably in my fingers' arc, precisely like the exact hyperbole of your remembered breast. I spent a lot of my adult life teaching soldiers in Korea. And while I was in Seoul, I was an active member of an open mic we had there. And so this is something that I often performed on those occasions. Take me in. Take me in, the poet said. Take me in, the prophet hid. Take me in, the poet prayed. Take me in, no banker paid. Take me in, the soldier fled. Sink or swim, the soldier pled. Take me in, the poet said. Take me in, a woman did. Make me warm, the woman cried. Safe and warm. The poet sighed. Words are thin, he did reply. Weak and thin, but yet I'll try. Weak and thin, but yet I'll try. In the bin, by page, in the bin, the books were laid, inch by inch, were set ablaze. Line by line, the match was lit. Word by word, the poems all went. Now I'm warm, the woman said, safe from harm. But poet dead. Poet dead? Poet dead? He lives on inside her head. Words go on inside her head. The end.
Right. Let's take a brief break and we'll be right back.
All right.
My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with Dwayne Voorhees. Dwayne, please continue.
Yes. Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Okay.
All right. All right.
Just can't be sure.
Okay. We're together.
All right.
Let me ask you a question first.
All right.
Okay.
I didn't do it.
Where? Okay. Do you think that a person could be a poet if they don't feel emotion strongly? If you don't feel emotion strongly, can you be a poet? That's the question.
Well, probably not. I guess it all depends on what kind of poet you aspire to be.
Okay.
So some of them just randomly take words and they do some sort of computer program on it and they spit out something that isn't any known language and it becomes highly regarded, like a lot of modern art, I suppose. So I don't see any emotion at all in something like that. When I was in college, there was something called concrete poetry,
yes,
which didn't seem to have much emotion behind it. Again, they were just sort of structural poems. So I guess you can, and anything you can call it poetry. So, in a more traditional vein, though, I don't think it's possible.
All right then. Well, with that in mind, please continue sharing your work.
I wish I had some concrete poetry for you.
It's okay.
How about some dirty blues?
All right. Hey, I could use some.
I won't sing it, though. I will spare your audience. Log in the fire, burning the white ash. Stick in fireplace, turning the white ash. When the fire is cold, thrown out with the trash. Used up, ejected, treated just like dirt. Disposed, rejected, tossed out, same as dirt. One unraveling thread dooms the entire shirt. Condom in the corner when the passion's spent. Tossed into the corner after love's spent. One more dead, unworn soldier in the tent. Expired, discarded, discharged just like dirt. Damned and abandoned, swept out just like dirt. Maybe not dead yet, maybe only hurt. Mission finished, an empty toothpaste tube. Purpose over, a used up toothpaste tube. Just gum on the fan blade after it's chewed. Tossed out, discarded, forgotten, just dirt. Thrown out at the wedding, now I am dirt. Leftover confetti, lying in the church. Log in the fire, burning in a white ash. Wood on the fire, turning into fine ash. My steady warmth, spurned by you in a flash. Disposed, dejected, treated just like dirt. Thrown out, ejected, treated worse than dirt. One unraveling thread dooms the whole damn shirt. In the same vein, this is Apple Blues. Look at me, bald, fat as an apple. Here I am, bald, fat as an apple. But don't value goods just by their wrapper. Old is your father, that's what you said. You're old's my father, is what you said. But that's no bother, not decrepit yet. May look like a wolf, pitted and ugly. Big bad old wolf, grizzled and ugly. Feed me love enough, tame as a puppy. Look at me, bald, fat as an apple. Look at me, bald, just like an apple. Don't value the goods just by their wrapper. You think I'm a shit, I make your garden grow. I may be a shit, but I make your garden grow. When you need a prick, let me be your rose. If you break your compass, I am true north. You lose your compass, here I am, true north. And when you end your wanders, I'm fire in your hearth. If I am silent, don't have much to say. I'm kind of silent, not a lot to say. Just like my violence, words left yesterday. Look at me, bald, fat as an apple. Yes, honey, bald, fat like an apple. Shouldn't price goods just by their wrapper. Lean me against your marrow like a giant midget jumbo shrimp. Hold my poor minute against all infinity, like any other parasol you'd prop against a hurricane. A gossamer-armored middle-aged scholar in swimming trunks. Let my steady frailty hold the frailty of your own. Let my cardboard walls withstand the world's assault. Horny old bastard, last grape on the vine. Horny old bastard, the end of the line. Wrinkled and blasted grape, make the sweetest wine. This is Nyan. Nyan is a Korean word with two meanings. So one meaning of Nyan is years, and the other meaning of Nyan is floozy. I guess that's an old-fashioned word that your listeners won't know. So it's a loose woman.
Okay. A floozy.
Okay.
Yes. I know a floozy.
All right.
Well, I don't mean it like
all
that.
Right.
But
you just can't tell anymore.
All right.
So when birds lose their plumes in the sand, they can't glue balloons to their hands. They can't fly, so they die. The years are like so many sweet girls. They cuddle against the navel in the middle of the night. They change, they challenge the body with pain, with delight. But though this waste is gone, its shadow yet remains. Is this what we needed? To lie in fields that we seeded with the sperm of you and me? My skin is a wrinkled up grocery sack, all the goodies unpacked and eaten long ago. My erection turned into ice yesterday, my eyeballs into snow. But though this face is gone, the halo yet remains. All the stones unheeded, the skies, the fields, back have kneaded into worms my butterflies. And the years, just like the sweet young girls, hanging in memory like leather kites, gaudy, garish, stabbing like neon lights to mark the passing of fond remembered rites. Is this what we needed? To lie in fields which receded with the germs of yesterday? But though this voice is gone, its echo yet remains. A toast. Time is a precious necklace bequested upon your birth. As time's beneficiary, you must realize its worth. Though age encircles your throat with its usual yearly pearl, the worth rests in the wearer and not within the jewel. The Dwayne you loved is gone. There's a stranger in his skin. The old Dwayne was younger, and the new one's bones are thin. Former laughs, reform is coughs. The cloud to clod change begins. When birds lose their plumes in the sand, they can't glue balloons to their hands. They can't fly, so they die. And just when I thought the earth I knew was turning cold, all the ancient fields of my youth, the sweet meadow, just when my old shepherd's head was a-going sheep-like itself, snowy, poor-sighted, far too slow, then, and just then, that new lamb came into the fold, and the earth turned over again, and no more old. So I'll do one more right now.
Okay.
A thaw wind stole softened in and walked his shadow down the wall, unedged this heart of flint. Yet this hunchback, which I am, exhibits its Olympic plaque like one more oriflamme. You renew dry blooms like a spring. The I is eunuch whom you knew has fixed his battering ram, dug his sword from the mold. This dragon hiding in my skin must now expose his gold. Dead still limbs tortured to bud. At last this dark tyrant deposed, hurt earth unfroze to mud. Freezing nights can't sleep so long as flowers burst in firework and larks upon their song. Mountains take off robes of snow and rivers caps of ice as spring's winds begin to blow. So, actually, those last poems are all about being old like I am now.
Okay.
Those were all written when I was still a young man. So I guess I was prophetic or old beyond my time or something like that.
Well, how does it feel to recite them, to read them now, knowing that they were written years before?
Well, they're so true that they're painful.
Okay.
Then it was just imaginary.
Right.
Now
right,
I have to live through this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Leonard Cohen used to say something like that. He was as a poet, he was a prophet, but it always took him too long to write his poems, and they weren't prophetic anymore.
Mm-hmm. They were very powerful words. As you think about life, as you think about growing older, what happens to your body, the changes that take place, very powerful. They really touched me.
Yeah, the mind hasn't gone yet, but it's working on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
We are back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm with Dwayne Voorhees. The telephone number is 646-787-1631. If you'd like to give Dwayne a call to ask him a question, I have a question for you, sir.
Yes.
Does writing energize or exhaust you?
Well, during the process of writing, it's usually exhausting because most of the time it doesn't come or comes out wrong, and there's a lot of fiddling to do. But when it is more or less done, then it becomes exhilarating.
Okay. And how can you tell when you reach that feeling of exhilaration? What happens to you?
I'm usually able to go back to sleep then.
Okay. That is a good feeling.
Yeah. And then in the morning I can look at it and throw it away or start all over again or fix it or, you know. But I pretty much know when it is mostly done.
Okay. So what do you view as being the most difficult part of the artistic process for you? What's the most difficult part?
Well, as I said, I spent most of my adult life outside of the U.S., and I am not one of those writers who writes every day or has any kind of a schedule at all. I write when I write, and I've always wanted to be published. There's no point in just writing for yourself. And so the hardest part for me living in Korea was essentially getting my material out and finding outlets for it. And that was a much more difficult process than the writing was.
Okay. Right. So knowing that your poem has been published and out there in the world, did it validate you as a poet, or were you content just knowing it was out of your system?
Well, I don't think it validated me as a poet. When I wrote, and although it would be nice to win a Nobel Prize or something, that's all after the fact. But still, if you do something, you want to share it with the world, and the world might be real small. It might be you know, half dozen people at an open mic. But I would like people to take my work seriously, and I hope they enjoy it and get something out of it. And so on a show like this, it's much easier to accomplish.
Well, undoubtedly, they get something out of it. I do every time you're on my show. That's why I always invite you back. You're a good man, and I enjoy hearing your work. So without further ado, you're back on.
All right. Well, this is something called Slither Love. My head has become a slow white dove. No match, I'm afraid, for the swift, sweet adders of your fingers. Just a flick, flick of the tongue. One whiplash embrace. And already the rich, delicious poison invades my heart. This is the collared man ponders his fate. Fish-eye pedestrians processed like meat, butchered by shadows crossing the streets. And the collared man fondles his date, groping nights for some familiar shape. Why not invite Five Finger Mary to play quick hands of sexual solitaire? Waiting for traffic lights to change in hell here on Tilt World in Universe Pinball, who is there tonight to tilt at windmills? President said that shadows don't lie, but who can see his shadow at night? And the collared man watches his weight. Once who made fire was fried at the stake, and wheel maker stretched on the rack, and sail weavers made to walk the plank. Our world's darkness, a new kind of flash, electrified with tasteless, touchless gas that weighs down like a new kind of mass. And the silence, a new sort of scream. Silence smothers nights, once thick with dreams. The collared man's sewed up at the seam. Excuse me. He who windowed the world, exiled the wind, skyscraper maker erased our sky. But icon crossing lights sigh, walk with light, walk with light, walk with light. So that is actually a very, very old poem. That was one of the poems that I wrote when I was in college.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Very nice.
Most of them disappeared long ago, but that I thought that one was a keeper.
Mm-hmm. Very, very nice.
So this is a diabetic dreams of sex.
Excuse me? Diabetic dreams of sex?
That's right.
Oh, it's just wanted to make sure.
You have to get the reader's attention, right?
Hey, no sleeping in the back. No sleeping in the back. All right. Okay. We're all ready.
Okay. Sticky nights with a peppermint-cheeked wonder child, gumdrop breasts and licorice thighs, and acres of sugar cube smile. Even sweets will turn sour if left for overnight. Too many lonely long hours between the passion and the light.
Would you mind reading that one again for me, please?
Okay, you didn't get past the title, did you?
Actually, no, I didn't. Being the diabetic that I am. Go ahead, please reread it.
Okay. A diabetic dreams of sex. Sticky nights with a peppermint-cheeked wonder child. gumdrop breasts and licorice thighs, and acres of sugar cube smile. Even sweets will turn sour if left for overnight. Too many lonely long hours between the passion and delight.
Got it.
Okay. You're taking notes, right?
Yes. Got it. Perfect.
Okay. So here's a zero moon. New students all took home this paper sky with zero moon, rudely red penciled by their Jesuit god with master's degree in education elementary. They tried, it seems unfair, the first exam, their brief error, red indelibly damned. So how could they have known before that fall that their prof would be such a know-it-all? The night hangs in their rooms, this tissue sky, this zero moon, the great forever why, stuck like a fallen moon in ceiling space. So this is my life in Tornado Alley. Came screaming through my home, upending it all in an instant, and then left the tattered vacuum behind forever, the wind and the women. Your body tells the highwayman. If prose is just a page running across your face, poetry is the line lying between your thighs. Your body tells the highwayman's short story life, a moment of poems at the point of conception, just another hackneyed form in execution. Okay, just browsing. Imagine our bodies in braille, finger tongues perusing, teasing out nuances, weighing every significance. We turn over sheet after sheet. Each climax foreshadowed, we read ourselves to sleep. This is waiting gracelessly. Now, hum, chant, dust off the altar, calves already gutted for slaughter. All I need now is the priestess. Just hold me in honor, hold me in awe. You fine and gaudy mistress, I pray you, make me your god. But you released me to wander beyond the range of my hymns. You leave me here to conjure you, incarnate, back from a dream. So carefully, I detail our temple with incense to be purified. But I'm running low on these candles and watching the castling putrefy. Left knee to Queen's Bishop Six, the renowned Polish ploy to save the connubial chess. And the Copernican does hypothesize his private junction of X's, Y's. Marriage is an intersection of curves. Ergo, we mate with the witch who's most available at some point A, where both we's are most vulnerable. Zen Mac Senate monks tell this Pollock Cohen deep in the abbot's office. It ends with this punchline proverb. Within the novice virgin, 9 months after she's hit with the old man on the mountain's holy stick, wisdom is born. And the white bride glides down the stainless aisle, past pews of naked delicatessen racks, like a boiled, swollen sausage, as she synchronizes her calendar and stopwatch. So now who says that the Kama Sutra's Polish position is back to back? And the new kielbasa mama splits into a smile. I guess I took too serious what he only poked at me in fun. The end.
What piece of advice would you give to your readers? Think about your body of work. What would you tell them?
You should always write to satisfy yourself and strangers. You don't write for your wife or your mother, or your friends. They won't give you good advice at all. So you've got to make yourself happy. That means ruthless editing. It means throwing things away. And it probably means never being completely satisfied with what you're doing, but coming close.
Mm-hmm.
And then hoping that somebody you don't know, maybe long after you're gone, will come across it and say, "Damn."
Let's take a brief break, and we'll be right back. We are back. I am here with one of my favorite people, Duane Voorhees. Duane, tell me about your book, Love's Autobiography.
Well, I guess I should make a slight amendment to that.
Okay.
When I was visiting in India, I met a publisher who wanted to publish some of my poems. And so I sent him a manuscript and was kind of disappointed that he only chose to publish half of it. So when I relocated to the United States, I still wanted to get the whole thing out. So the title of the full collection is The Many Loves of Duane Voorhees, Love's Autobiography, The Ends of Love.
Oh, wow.
And so does that, which is also on Kindle and on iTunes. Both of those books are listed on Amazon, but one of them is just essentially the first half of the other one.
Oh, wow. It must be a very comprehensive volume of work.
Well, one thing I've mostly disliked about books of poetry is that they're very thin and very expensive, and
yes.
And you know, so you know, it's a dollar a word or something by the time you buy it, and so this is a book that is about 130 pages of material, and it's $15, so I think it's a good bargain for poetry lover's money.
It sounds like it. I mean, that's a great price. It's a great price.
Yeah, yeah.
Phenomenal price.
I see these books on Amazon. Actually, one of the things that strikes me as very, very odd is that they're starting to show up with used copies of my book, and some of them cost three times as much as they can get a new one for $15. I do not understand that at all.
We have time for a few more poems, if you wouldn't mind gracing us again, and then we'll conclude tonight's program.
All right. Well, this is Meantime. Tarot decks can't change their spots. They just relax until they're dealt. Lots cast by Rome's guards. Start with fool and hang a god, or end with world and find a fraud. News in type bears no promise, save of strike and headlined gore. These nameless infamous of our world take no more from us than what we give to whores. Lord, what a hooker time is. Ink of scribe has no memory unless petrified in blood and stone. History is the mystery of mud and bones. How many of me, me, me have died or grown since yesterday? This is Loves I Bear to You, addressing my all-girls college class in Seoul, a sea of knees and eyes. Just who do I cast my verbal net unto? Miss J, in her vast lostness of late adolescence. The mirthlessness of Miss O's mercenary matrimonialism. The practice spontaneity of Miss U's blushes. Miss E's patient burden of passionate virtue. The ancient futures of grown middle school dreams. And then, in Mid Othello, the lights go out. And in the sudden night, all that I can make out are the pale fluorescent coral of fingertips, lips. That why in miser is me, a melodrama. I had thought to hoard your beauty, to store it safe and proud in that place where you'd amused me and none else would be allowed. But you crept out through the wind tower and you burst out into the world. Now you perfume your universe with circus, peacocks, clouds, while I stay locked in duty with your memory and my shroud, almost, I wrote, a miser's booty lost, hyperbole for the hoard. What did you do in my life? Were you the butcher or the bride? My savior, a suicide. O countess, accountant, or clown, the one who talked all my airplanes down. In your life, what was I? Just one more endless hammer on the anvil of your thighs? Rusty, dull umbilical scissors, unspooled string to your puffed-up kite? How could we not be a seeker if nothing is secure, or abandon all claims to longing since neither would be long? What wanton? Which village chemist took us from his shelf and mixed us with his pestle, put us in pots, and sold us to customers with their milk. They took us with cereal and dyed in knots. And which astrologer played with ourselves his odd game of celestial connect the dots? He made the mood turn the tide. He made the moon turn the tides into whales against glittery crystal chandelier yachts. This is how it all begins.
Right.
Mother Sky Aphrodite slides into her nightie, silk, black, strobe-filled sequins, and glides like pawns into bed. Papa Earth rolls over once, hugs her, humps her, then grunts, groans, snores, snorts, sprawls like lead. From the bedclothes crawls their moon-faced bastard, squalling till the dawn, when a newer, brighter sun spits up in his spoon. Don't get me wrong. Are we out of time?
Yes, we've got about time for one more. One more.
All right. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
Despite all these eons of together, you want me to write you poems? Okay. The stars scattershot across the purple night like bird shit on velvet. Sorry, this lack of poetry, can you forgive? But beyond your vertical crescent smile, there lurks, oh swastika, Mona Lisa Skinner's box. When you sleep, your closed eyes look like tiny Chinese twats. Though your eyes no longer burn with magic, and this hour with infinite possibilities won't swell anymore, yet your quotidian eyes still warm the frosty air, and I don't mind my time with you, and your arms don't anchor my lusts as they did before. And your form isn't the amusement park it used to be when I was the new ride. But your embrace remains a comforter in the cold winter nights, and the scenery's quite nice still. The end.
All right. Duane, I'd like to thank you so much for sharing your work with us. I'd like to make this a yearly experience to invite you back every year to come and grace us with your work. It's
well,
really
I'd
deep.
Love to do that.
I'm serious, too. I'm serious. I want you to come back again because I enjoy hearing you read.
Well, thank you very much. I hope a year from now the phone works better.
Yes. Well, I'd like to thank you and to our listening audience. Thank you to everyone. Good night, and until next week, take care. All right.
All right.